That it's well with your soul. Amen. And if it's not, before you leave this place today, you'll make it well with your soul. Amen. There's nothing like knowing that you know that you know. Amen. There's nothing like being ready to go. There's nothing like having assurance and peace of mind that when that trump of God shall sound, that you won't have to fear, and you won't be afraid, and you won't be hesitating, but you'll be anticipating and ready to go. Amen. And that's our goal. That's why we preach. That's why we sing. That's why we just tell everybody about Jesus. Amen. It's because we want you to know that you know that you know. And I tell you, it's good to know. And the thing about it is, it's all up to you. Amen. It's not up to me. It's not up to God even. God's already done all that he's going to do. He's done all that he could do for you. And the only thing that you have, and the only thing that he gives us of ourselves, that we have complete and utter control over, complete and absolute sway over, complete and absolute decision-making privileges for, is our own soul. Amen. Amen. That's the one thing God gave man, and let man make all the decisions. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles into Deuteronomy chapter number 30. This is the only thing that God has given us that we're allowed to have a choice in. Everything else falls under those simple words, thus saith the word of God. Amen? And our lives are governed. Our lives are to be dictated. Our lives fall under what thus saith the word of God. But we have a choice. We have the privilege of making that choice for ourselves. In Deuteronomy chapter number 30, and since you stood so long for the singing, we'll let you sit today for the reading. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter number 30, in verse number 15, the Bible says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall..." I just remembered I didn't have this on, Joe. "And the Lord thy God shall multiply..." let me start over there. Let me start back in the beginning of the verse. "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen, amen. I just want to preach to you this afternoon on this thought: why I choose the Lord. Amen. Moses said, "I've set before you this day blessing and cursing." He said, "Choose the Lord, choose life, choose the blessing, that you and your seed may live." He said, choose, God, choose wisely because the choice is up to you. Choose wisely because the choice is yours alone to make. And your destiny, so to speak, as far as what you choose, will rest in two things. It will rest in blessing or in cursing. And he tells the children of Israel, he's been pouring out these things unto them. He's been reminding them of where they've come from. How many of you every now and then stop and think of where you've come from? Amen. I think about that. I think of where I come from. Not just in my natural life. We was just a bunch of poor white trash that lived up on Muddy Lane. God has just touched our lives and had just blessed us and just helped us. He just has multiplied us tremendously. And then I think about the spiritual blessings that he gave me. I think about where I was and where he brought me from. I think about who I was and what he's brought me from. I think about where I was going and the path that I was on and where I'm on my way to now. And praise God, I remember that I was a no good, dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking sinner, lost and on my way to hell. But he brought me up out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit. He set my feet on the rock, and he began to change my life, and he gave me a new outlook. He gave me a new name. Praise God. I'm no longer what I used to be and who I used to be. I'm a child of the King. I'm a Christian. I carry his name. Amen. And then he gave me a new robe. Amen. He gave me a new garment. I like that. That's why I like an old song, Two Coats. Amen. Two coats were before me, and the old and the new. I could have either. Which one would I choose? The first coat was filthy and terribly worn. I think of it often. Oh, man. And he goes on telling about that old coat, about that old man, about that old life. And he says, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. And praise God, one day he gave me a new coat to wear. Amen. One day he gave me a new robe of righteousness to wear. One day he made a change in me. He gave me a new name. He gave me a new coat, and he gave me a new direction, and praise God, I don't want to turn back. I don't want to go back to where I was and what I come from, but praise God, I want to go to where he's prepared for me. Amen. He said, I sit before you this day, blessing and cursing. He says, choose life. Moses says, you remember where we was. We was down in Egypt. Amen. Remember how lost we were. Down in Egypt, we were slaves. We were in bondage. There was no hope. But guess what? He said, one day, God passed through Egypt. Amen. One day, God revealed himself in Egypt. And one day, in Egypt, deliverance came. One day in Egypt, he brought us out. He said, these are my people. He said, these are my children. He said, they'll worship me where I want them to worship me. They'll worship me the way that I want them to worship me. These are mine, and I'm going to take them out of here. And praise God. He said, do you remember when he took us out of there? With a high hand and a stretched out arm, he brought us out of Egypt. Do you remember the time that he brought you out? Amen. Do you remember the time that he gave you deliverance? And then he said, we came to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was fast upon us, was hard behind us. And when it looked like all hope was gone, when it looked like our situation was helpless and hopeless, praise praise God, he parted the waters and he brought us through the Red Sea, and then he destroyed Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He destroyed his army and all that he had sent out to destroy and to hinder you. He said, do you remember all that? Praise God, I remember the night that he saved me. I remember the night that I realized that Satan had no more power over me. I realized the night that I got saved. The devil was still aggravating and frustrating and trying to bring doubt to my heart in my mind, but God reminded me. Amen. But God reminded me. Do you remember? Amen. Do you remember when you really realized just what God had done? When it really sunk home just how free indeed you are. How absolutely free you are. How completely free you are. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're free. Because Pharaoh isn't going to be chasing you anymore. Pharaoh has no more power over you. Because God has destroyed Pharaoh. God has taken away his power. He said, do you remember that? And then he brought us into the wilderness. Amen. I tell you what, I've been in some dry places in my spiritual life. Amen. I've been in some difficult spots in my Christian walk, and sometimes I was just like the children of Israel. Sometimes I murmured, and sometimes I complained. Any complainers in here? Amen. Am I by myself, or can anybody testify and identify with what I'm talking about? Amen. I have complained to the Lord, and I have doubted his purposes and his goals, and praise God, nonetheless, he has brought me to the waters of Meribah. He's brought me to the place where I got something out of the rock that I couldn't find in this world. Amen. And he reminded me of just how much he's blessed me. He's reminded me of where he's brought me from. He's reminded me of how he's given deliverance. He's reminded me of how he sustained me and how he helps me. He's reminded me so many times that in the darkest and most desperate moments in my life, can you imagine having your wife and kids, Brother Charles, and you're out in the desert, out in the middle of nowhere, and there's no water, there's no food, there's nothing, and you don't know where it's coming from, and you got to wait on the Lord. Amen. It gets hard to do in the flesh sometimes. But he's reminded me time and again. If I just wait on him. Amen. If I just wait on him, he's got what I need. And then he spoke to the children of Israel out of Horeb. And his thundering and his voice was so fearful that they didn't want to hear it. And they said, let Moses go hear what you have to say. And let Moses come back and tell us. He says, do you remember that time when God, I told you, these are my statutes. When God said, this is the way I want you to walk. You're going to live different. You're going to be different. And when people see you, they're going to know you're different because of the lifestyle that you live. Amen. They're going to know you're different because of the things that you do. They're going to know that you're different because of the things that you don't do. They're going to know that you're different, not just because you say you're mine, but because you live as mine. Not just because you've got a title and you're the seed of Abraham, but because you chose to obey the word which I spoke unto Moses, my servant. They're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're mine. Because you're going to be a peculiar people. Amen. I look around me today, I see a whole lot of peculiar people. Amen. A lot of folks take, well, it snowed, we ain't having church this morning, that means we ain't having church all day. Amen. The peculiar bunch showed up. Amen. The peculiar bunch is here. And I know other folks are here that could be here. I'm sure some still having trouble getting dug out. I just got dug out before church. Amen. That's why I wasn't here to the last minute. I was just finishing pushing out and getting things where I could get to stuff and what have you and whatnot. And I understand that. But God said, my people are going to be peculiar. My people will be different. My people will be marked. And everybody is going to know their mind. And he said, I got something for you. I got something for you that no one else can have. He said, I got a land that flows with milk and honey. He said, there are some folks there now that don't belong. There are some folks there now who don't even speak my name. There's some folks there now who don't recognize who I am and what I am and what I can do and what I want to do. There's some folks there now who've turned their back on me. And he said, let me tell you something. Here's the way it's going to go. He said, I'm going to give you that land. I'm going to dispossess those people that are there. He said, I'm going to push them out. I'm going to push them out a bit at a time before you. He said, you won't have to do the fighting. He said, I'll go before you. It'll be like hornets striking them before you even get there. All you got to do is show up for the battle, and I will do the fighting, and I will push them out. Amen. He said, but when you seen what I had for you, when you seen what I had promised unto you, he said, your heart's fainted because it seemed impossible. It seemed improbable. Don't you know there are giants in the land? Don't you know that the sons of Anak are there? And we were but grasshoppers in their sights. Now, I want you to know that God's people have always been known to exaggerate the obstacles that were before them. Amen. There isn't a giant in the Bible that was that big. Amen. None of the statures. Now, a 13-foot man sounds like a big man. But you ain't going to look like a grasshopper in his sight. Are you? I mean, it might look like me and one of these kids sitting back here. I think the tallest one there was who was it, Og? His bed only measured 13 foot. 13 foot something. Even if it was 14 foot, 13 foot 6, 13 foot 9, something like that. But we exaggerate the problems. We exaggerate the difficulties of doing what God wants us to do. Of being where God wants us to be. Being who God wants us to be. Amen. He wanted his children, he wanted his people to be the ones to possess this land. But they said, there's a problem over here. There's giants over there so big that we look like grasshoppers in their sights. There's cities that are so big and so mighty. They're walled about to where we can never get past them. We can never conquer this land. You know what the truth of the matter is? God really doesn't care. He just brought us out here and left us out here in this dry and desert place. And we're going to waste the way out here. It was a shame that we had to leave Egypt. It was a shame that we had to leave the milk and the cucumbers and the onions and the garlic that we had back in Egypt. It was a shame that we left all that behind. Does that sound familiar in someone's life? Amen. God wants to take us someplace, and sometimes the way has got to be a little bit difficult for us to trust in him. The way has got to be fraught with some problems for us to learn that we have to depend upon him. The way is going to seem tenuous, and it's going to be arduous, and it's going to be a struggle to go the way that he wants us to go. And it is if we go in the flesh. Amen. But praise God if we learn what little David learned as a young man. Amen. If we learned what some of these kids learned and believe and trust in Sunday school. Amen. If we will just accept God like some of these little ones accept God, we can see God do great things in our lives. David set out to go into the valley of Elah to face Goliath. And David was just a young man. And the Bible said he was ready. He was a teenager. And he was just full of himself. And Saul wanted to put his armor upon him. He said, I don't need this. I haven't proved this. He said, but I know what I have proved. I know in whom I can believe. I know in whom my hope can rest. I didn't come here of my own accord. I come here in the name of the Lord God on high. I come here in the name of the Lord of Israel. I came in here. I came down here not to fight my battle, but for him to fight the battle for me. And he said he delivered a lion. He delivered a bear. I trust him. And praise God, I know that he'll deliver this giant. Amen. Into my hands. Oh, we look at the problems. And we say, man, it's too great for me. Guess what it is. Amen. We look at the promises and we say, well, that's beyond my ability. Yes, it is. Amen. I remember hearing the preacher preach about how God sent his son to die for me and how I was a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten sinner on my way to hell. And outside of Jesus, there was no hope for me. And praise God, I thought to myself, well, what can I do? And finally, it struck home to me, there's nothing I can do. He already did it. Amen. And all I got to do is accept his gift of eternal life to me. Friend, let me tell you something. Today, all you got to do is accept God's deliverance, accept his power, accept his help. And he'll bring you through to the place where he wants to bring you through. He said, do you remember when they rebelled? And God said, that bunch that wouldn't trust me, that bunch that rejected me, that bunch that said what I said was so, wasn't so, didn't go in. He said, you know why you walked these last 40 years through the wilderness, don't you? You know why you took this journey that you're taking, don't you? Because God said, none of them are going in. And let me tell you something, friends. We got a world out here that believe, we live in a country where everybody believes they're going to die and go to heaven. We want to live like hell but think we're going to die and go to heaven. We want to live unto ourselves and we want to live our own lives, and we're our own man, we're our own woman, we're our own boy, we're our own girl. We're going to do things our own way. We're going to live unto ourselves and we're going to die and go to heaven. Let me tell you something. Outside of the blood of Jesus, amen, the only place that you're going to go is to a place called hell outside of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You'll not go in. And it won't be his fault. Because you chose not to trust him. You chose not to believe him. You chose not to follow him. You made that choice. He says, do you remember? And now I brought you here. And I brought you to this place. We've already dispossessed the giants that were on this side of Jordan. Sihon and Og have been dispossessed. Their cities are now our cities. Their land is now our land. And God promised us everything on the other side of Jordan, but he gave us what was on this side as well. The Lord promised us a blessing over here. I thank God that the God I serve is a God who will make your cup overflow. Amen. He'll have you drinking from your saucer because he's so good to you. He said, don't forget that. Don't forget that. He said, but before you go in, he said, let's just take a little time to rehearse the things that God has said. Let's just take a little time to go back through the Word. You know what? Whenever you're facing a monumental task, whenever you're facing a monumental trial, whenever you're facing something that seems to be beyond your greatest capabilities, take a little bit of time to get back in the Word and let God remind you what He can do for you and what He wants to do. He said, let's rehearse these things. And he said, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to divide you up, and part of you is going to stand over here. I'm going to divide you up. Part of you is going to stand over here. And part of you is going to stand over here. And we're going to go through the Word of God. And we're going to begin to acknowledge the Word of God. And God's people are going to say amen and amen. God's people are going to affirm the curses and the blessings that God has pronounced in His Word. And as they begin to speak the things that God had set up before them, as prohibition, the things that were sin unto them, the people over here would say amen and amen. The people that were over here would say amen and amen. And as God read through His servant Moses, those things that were going to be a blessing unto them, His people would say amen and amen. And the bunch over here would shout amen and amen. I tell you what, it's time we get back into believing what God's Word says and say amen and amen to the precious promises of God's Word. Amen. I tell you what, His Word never fails. His Word's never wrong. If you read God's Word, you find a problem. The problem ain't the Word. Amen. The problem is you. He says, I want you to be reminded. I want you to remember just how good God has been. Can I get an amen? God is good. Amen. God has been good. God's been so good to us. And Moses said, now I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. He said, I've rehearsed it all before you, where God has brought you from, where He's took you to, how He's brought deliverance unto you, and how He's just bountifully blessed you along the way. And you've acknowledged God's blessing. You've acknowledged God's curses. And now today, it's time for you to make a choice. And you know what? Every day, we have a choice to make. Every day, we got to make a decision. I'm going to live this day unto the Lord, or I'm going to live this day unto myself. I'm going to live this day thankful, worshiping, praising God for all that He's done. I'm going to live this day a patting myself on the back for how good I am and what I've done. The two men were praying at the hour of prayer. And the Bible said one, who was a religious man, stood and talked about how good he was. He talked about how much he had done. He talked about how great a person that he was. And he even said he was glad that he wasn't like the old sinner man that stood nearby. And then the Bible says the old sinner man, he bowed down with his face to the ground, ashamed to even lift his face to heaven, and cried, Lord, have mercy on me. He said, I'm weak. He said, I'm dirty. I know I'm a sinner. But Lord, have mercy on me. And the Bible records that as God heard those prayers, He said the man that humbled himself went down to his house justified. The man who was a sinner and realized that he was a sinner. The man who was a sinner and asked God for mercy. The man that was a sinner and asked God to forgive him for being who he was. Praise God. I'm glad that as an old sinner, every day that I call out to Jesus and ask him to forgive me of my sins, I'm assured that he forgives me of my sins. I choose to acknowledge who I am. I choose to answer for who I am. And every day, I don't get up every day and I don't pray every day, "Oh Lord, I'm just a great fellow because I'm the pastor down at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my thoughts." If you haven't said in my adult Sunday school class, you're going to find out something. Sin doesn't start out here. Sin starts in here. Amen. Sin starts right here. And a lot of times, we think that the only sin that we need to worry about is the sin that we follow through with. The sin that maybe someone has seen. The sin that has taken fruit and taken action. But the greatest part of my sin is right in here. And I ask God every day to forgive me because I'm a sinner that needs mercy. I have a choice to make. A choice in choosing Jesus or choosing myself. I choose Jesus, I choose life. Amen. Amen. I choose Jesus. You say, "Well, I've got a good life." Well, let me tell you something. It's not as good as it could be. Amen. Amen. I've known a lot of drunks that had a good life. God saved their soul and got them cleaned up and got them off the bottle. Amen. And they will tell you that they really didn't know what life was until Jesus came into their heart. Setting up in 12-step meetings and they, every week going up there having to say the same thing. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. Drug addicts that God has delivered. Hey, man. Man, they thought they had it all. They thought they had a good life. They had everything until one day they met Jesus. Amen. Amen. And they realized just how pitiful the life that they was living really was. And they realized that outside of Jesus, there really is no life. Outside of Jesus, there really was no hope. And same thing, going to a program where they're kept in bondage. Amen. I'm glad that when you find life in Jesus, you find freedom from the bondage of sin. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And praise God, I'm glad that Jesus sets us free. He will set the addicted. And I know we're all addicted to something. That's right. Amen. Everybody's addicted to something. Everybody has something that we want to feed the flesh in. Amen. Some it's sports and some of it it's possessions and everybody's got some kind of an addiction. So let's not just look down our noses at the drunks and the drug addicts. How about the adulterers and the adulteresses? How about the whoremongers and the bar flies? How about the people who want to work themselves to death? They think they got to make every dollar that's out there, and if they find out that there's another dollar to be made, praise God, they'd throw Jesus under the bus for a dollar. Amen. We're addicted to something, all of us. But most of us are addicted to this right here. Amen. See, that's all our common addiction. And if we're not careful, we let this override this. Amen. Paul said, I keep my body under subjection. He said, I got to bring it under subjection daily. Why? He said, because if I'm not careful, my addiction takes over. If I'm not careful, my flesh takes over. And my flesh wants to exert itself. He said, I can't have that. He said, I make a choice every day to put my body and put my flesh. He said, I make a choice every day to put me back where I belong. To remind myself of where I came from. To remind myself of who I am in Christ Jesus. To remind myself what I have and what I've inherited. And Jesus, he said, I want to choose life. Over in John chapter 1, it says, he was a light and in him was life. If you don't know Jesus, you've never really truly known life. You've existed. You've never really lived. Amen. There's a song they sang, I think the cathedral sung it, I just started living. I just started living. I found me a brand new life. I changed my direction. Put away all the pain and strife. I'm a newborn believer. It's brand new in feeling. My load is getting lighter. My days are getting brighter. I just started living. You never knew life until you know Jesus. Because when you know Jesus and you know life in Jesus, you know blessing. Amen. Amen. Moses said, look. He said, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life, because my life, he said in verse 20, he said, he is our life. God is our life. Choose him. He is our life. And he's our blessing. Hey man, I've never been so blessed in life. I've never seen blessings like I've known. And knowing the Lord is my Savior. I've never known blessings like I've known as a Christian until I was willing to surrender everything to him. I've made him first. Give him his rightful place in my life. And you know what? The blessings don't stop. The blessings don't cease. And even in the trials, even in the difficult times and the hard times, and you say, well, I don't know that you have any problems. Well, you don't know everything that goes on in our life. No more than I know everything that goes on in your life. But I can tell you this. In everything that I've went through, in everything I go through, I can feel the hand of God upon me. I can feel the blessings of the Lord. I feel his protection. I feel his assurance. I feel confidence in him and in knowing him. He said, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land. You might be able to grasp and hold on to the blessings that the Lord sware unto thy fathers. I'm glad his word don't lie. He said he's going to prepare a place for me. Amen. I'm glad I got a heavenly home. That's a blessing I look forward to. I'm glad his word don't lie. And Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Praise God. I'm never alone or forsaken. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Praise God. I'm glad he's there. I'm glad that his word don't lie. And he said that we can cast our cares upon him, for He cares for us. Amen. And I'm glad I can count them blessings. And I love that song, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. I tell you what, you get down in the mouth, start counting your blessings. Start counting how many good things God has done for you. And praise God, He can turn a cursing into a blessing. Amen. He can turn a difficult time into a joyous time. He can take a time of fear and loathing and make it a time of worship and gladness in your life. I want to worship Him. I want to love Him because He is my God. And He's done all these things for me. I didn't deserve it. But He done it anyway. Amen. He sent a ton of snow one day. Clouds dark. The sky's dark. It was a blowing. I got the blower out yesterday. It blowed the walk off. Blowed the porch off. And by the time I got it blowed off, I looked around. You know, you couldn't see it again. But praise God, today the sun's a-shining. Amen. Today it's a-melting. Yes. Amen. He never ceases to bless when we need a blessing. Right. He never ceases to help when we need help. I'm glad He saves to the uttermost. Amen. I'm glad He still saves old sinners. I like that song, Christ Receive a Sinful Man. I'm glad He does. Because without that hope, there'd be no hope for me. Amen. Praise God, He still changes lives. I'll give you my outline up here. I ain't even preached what's on my outline. Amen. But praise God, I'm glad. I'm glad for what He's done for me. And I'm glad that we need to be reminded. And in remembering, it helps us to make the choices that we need to make. So stand on our feet this afternoon, heads bowed and eyes closed.